Good evening, and thank you for joining us. I'm Karen, welcoming you to this live event. Tonight, Senator Maria Collette of the 12th Senate District will take your calls and questions on voting services. Senator Collette will be joined by voter engagement specialist Adam Blum. If you would like to ask a question this evening, please press star three on your keypad to participate. Again, if you'd like to ask a question live with the senator and guests, please press star three on your keypad at any time during this conversation. Without any further delay, here's the senator.
Thank you so much, Karen. Good evening, everyone. I am so thrilled to have you all joining us this evening. As I'm sure you know, we have a primary election coming up on Tuesday, May 19th. During today's telephone town hall, we'll be sharing important voter resources and answering as many of your questions as possible so that you can submit your ballot with confidence, whether you decide to vote by mail or at your polling location. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, remember to press star three on your phone. As your state senator, I'm committed to ensuring that our elections are fair, secure, and accessible, and I want to make sure eligible voters of all ages, abilities, and socioeconomic backgrounds feel empowered to make their voices heard at the ballot box. Because, as you know, elections have consequences, and every vote matters. We'll be selecting candidates for governor, lieutenant governor, Congress, state lawmakers, and others to appear on our ballots in November's general election. These are the leaders who will shape the future of our communities and our Commonwealth. The stakes are high, so let's get started. I'd like to introduce our guest speaker, Adam Blum, voter engagement specialist with Montgomery County's Office of Voter Services. Adam will kick us off with some important reminders and resources, and then we'll get right into your questions. As a reminder, press star three on your phone to submit your questions. Welcome, Adam.
Hi, Senator Collette. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. We have an election in just 20 days from today. It's coming up quick. So some important things I'd like to discuss is, first of all, your Board of Elections of Montgomery County Voter Services is available to you if you have questions. You can give us a call, you can email us, you can go to our website. Our website is montcovotes.com. We can be reached by phone at 610-278-3280, or you can email us at montcovotes@montgomerycountypa.gov. We have some important deadlines coming up on Monday, May 4th. We have the registration deadline. We are worried that is your deadline to update your registration or register to vote. And then on May 12th, we have the mail-in ballot deadline, where you have to apply by a mail-in ballot by that time. And the mail-in ballots need to be in our office by May 19th at 8 p.m. That's when polls close. So you can use a Dropbox, or you can deliver the ballot to our office yourself, or have it mailed here by that time. We also have a lot of ballot offices. They will be open May 2nd and May 3rd and May 9th and May 10th from 11 to 4. So, Murray, do you want to continue?
Sorry, Adam, I wasn't sure if you were finished, and I didn't want to interrupt you.
But sorry about that.
That really great information. Not at all. Thank you so much for all of that great information. I do have some questions that are coming in from folks on the line, but I wanted to start with asking you if you could talk a little bit about what voters can expect with the new electronic poll books that are being introduced across our county.
Well, we're going to have, if you've used an iPad before, if you've used a tablet, it's going to look familiar to you. Your voter information will remain secure. Voter info remains private, and the only thing that's changing is the check-in process. So when you get to your polling place, you will sign a poll pad. It's like an iPad with a stylus or your fingers.
That's great. So hopefully there will be folks at our polling locations that will be able to help folks navigate that as well, just to make sure that they're, you know, not making any mistakes.
Yeah.
I know that when it comes to voting, everybody wants to make sure they're doing it right.
Yeah, our poll workers are trained. been training them. They have had a lot of time with the machine, so they will be ready to go and help you. Don't be afraid to ask them a question. They're trained. They're friendly. They want to help you, and they'll be, for the most part, the same coworkers you've come to know over the many years voting at your polling place.
That's great, Adam. Thank you so much for that breakdown. I want to remind listeners to go ahead and press *3 if you have a question. I guess, you know, you talked a little bit about the poll workers that are going to be at each of the polling locations, and these are largely folks that we've gotten to know over the years going to our polls. But is there anyone else that voters should be reaching out to with questions on Election Day?
So you can call our office. Like I said, we will be there. Our phone lines, I will be in the office from 6 a.m. until polls close, and then I'll go over to the warehouse. So I'll be here from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'll have many colleagues here. That number again is 610-278-3280, and you can call. We will be here. That's the number for general questions. If there's an emergency, God forbid there's an emergency, that's still 911, so we are here to answer any questions. If you have concerns about what you're told by a coworker, you can call us for clarification.
Great. That's wonderful. And again, I want to remind folks, if you're on the call and you have a question, please go ahead and press *3. Adam, I am wondering if you could tell us a little bit about, like, what would happen if a voter, like myself, what if I requested a mail-in ballot, but changed my mind? You know, my husband likes to vote at the polls. I like my mail-in ballot. What if he talks me into it and says, hey, Maria, you should vote at the polling location too, but I already got my mail-in ballot. What should I do?
So that's a pretty frequent thing that happens. People sometimes get a mail ballot, they change their mind, they realize, oh, I'm not going out of town, I want to vote in person. All you have to do is bring your mail-in ballot and the purple and white outer envelope, which is supposed to sign a date, bring that to your polling place and let the judge of election or any poll worker know, hey, I have my mail-in ballot. I'd like to surrender the ballot and vote in person. They will do that. If for some reason you lost your mail-in ballot or you never got it, you just need to vote provisionally. The judge will have instructions on how to do that.
That's great. And you're talking about the judge of elections. Is that your polling location?
Yes, the judge of elections. Sorry, yes. The judge of elections, okay, which is our local official, that will be at your polling place, and you may know them already. If you go to your poll, if you frequently go in person, you may recognize this person.
That's great. Thanks for the clarification. How does someone become a poll worker?
So they can apply on our website at moncovotes.com or give us a call. There's an application. You just give us your information, and then we do hold trainings throughout the about a month before the election, and the trainings are at convenient times. They're not during normal business hours, so some are virtual, and we train you. All you need to do is apply on our website or give us a call for further instructions.
Great. Thank you, Adam. And, Karen, I guess we have a question coming in from Tracy from Hatfield.
Yes. We are live with Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. Thanks for joining us. What's your question for Adam?
My question is about voter registration and voter ID. With the new systems that they're putting in, other than the written pad, they'll be electronic. So I'm wondering, do you need to come to the polling place with a passport to verify your ID? Or what happens if you have a problem where they don't recognize that you're a previous voter and that you've registered?
So the poll books, you're not going to need ID unless it's your first time voting. This is the same as it's always been in the past. Unless it's your first time voting at that precinct, right, you will not need ID. The polling pads have the information uploaded to them from the voter registration rolls, so there won't be any mismatch between the old polling books we used and these polling pads.
Thanks, Adam. I think it's really important for us to make sure people feel secure when they're showing up to the polls. So I know that's been something that a lot of us have been hearing about. What kind of identification will I need when I show up at the polling location? And can you just remind us again, you said you only need your ID when? Can you just remind us?
First time voting at a polling place. So if you're a voter and let's say you moved from you moved from Hatboro and you went to Lower Gwynedd, you're going to need your ID when you at your new polling place in Lower Gwynedd. If you moved even across town and you put your new polling place, you will need ID. So it's just when you're going to a new polling place for the first time.
Great. Thank you so much. I wanted to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk again about mail-in balloting. Remind us again, when is the date for requesting that mail-in ballot? Have we already passed that deadline?
The deadline for requesting a mail-in ballot is May 12th. You can do it online.
Wonderful.
You can do it for a paper application. If you're thinking about doing a mail-in ballot right now, just go apply. You can always, like we talked about, bring it to the polling place if you change your mind. But we're getting real close to that deadline. So it comes by quick. And then we have to get that ballot back during enough time for you to return it. So I definitely encourage people, if you're even thinking about it, just go online to MontevideoVotes.com. We have some prompts there, and you can apply for a mail ballot.
Great. Karen, I think we have another question from Joe.
Yes. Joe, you are live.
Hi, Joe. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. This is a question in closeness. My wife and I got mail-in ballots. We sat down and completed our ballots at the same time. Unfortunately, our mail-in envelopes got mixed up. I signed her envelope. She signed my envelope. We realized it, crossed it out, and re-signed them with the correct names on the correct envelope. Is that going to be a problem?
That won't be a problem. If you guys cross out the signature and sign next to it and signed above it, that's fine. It does happen more than you think. We send ballots to house. There's plenty of households with multiple voters, and sometimes you mix up an envelope. It happens. So if you've already returned those ballots and you're crossing out the wrong signature and putting your own, that's fine. For anybody else listening that hasn't returned it and made a mistake on the outer envelope, you can initial next the correction. But you will be fine if you know that happens. It's actually more common than you think.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Again, I want to remind folks on the call, if you have questions about the voting process here in Montgomery County, we are joined this evening with Adam from Montgomery County Voter Services. And press *3 on your phone to ask a question. I wanted to ask about, you talked about if a mistake happens on your mail-in ballot, and that happens more often than, people would think. But talk to me a little bit about when you drop off your mail-in ballot. Like, for example, could I drop off my husband's mail-in ballot at the same time I'm dropping mine off?
You are not allowed to drop off anybody else's ballot except your own, except under limited circumstances. So, yes, even if you're married to somebody and you have the same bank account and you make financial or medical decisions for somebody, you cannot drop off their ballot unless they have a disability that prevents them from doing it themselves. If they do have a disability that prevents them from dropping off their own ballot, on our website, MontevideoVotes.com, or by calling us, we can get you a designated agent form. If you go to MontevideoVotes.com, on the left-hand side of that website is a blue column that says Forms and Guides. You want to click that, then you can get a designated agent form through there, or just call us and we can mail you one.
Great. Thank you so much. We have another question coming in from Mike. Is that right, Karen?
Yes, Senator. Mike, you should be live.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Question for you, Maria. I'm sure you'd agree that only American citizens should be able to vote in our elections. How do you prevent somebody who may have voted illegally in the past from voting again at the same district?
Well, I know that you directed the question at me. I think you're right. Only citizens are able to register to vote, and only citizens are voting. But I think that this is a question probably more in line. Adam, I'm not sure if you can talk a little bit about the integrity of the registration system. I know that happens at the state level. So if that's not something we do here at the Montco level, that's okay too. But I just don't know if, Mike, you're referring to what we do to ensure that at the state level, folks are only, able to register if they are U.S. citizens. That is the case. They are being checked through via the registration process, 10.2, when they're getting driver's licenses. So there are a lot of factors here that go into making sure that, you know, only citizens are being able to register to vote. And we're ensuring, as Adam said, if you go to a new polling location and you're showing up at a new polling location, that you're providing identification to show that you actually are there in the poll book, and that those electronic poll books are pulling from the state's data. And again, in order to register, you've had to go through the process of, you know, showing that you are eligible to be a registered voter here in Pennsylvania. So thank you so much, Mike. It's my understanding that Bonnie's next with a question.
Yes, Bonnie, you should be live.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, Bonnie.
Yes, my name is Bonnie. This village meeting, I saw something recently on Facebook that the Church of the Mall is closing down, and that's where we usually vote. I was wondering, where would the polling place be for Plymouth meeting, Plymouth Township, 196?
I will get you that. It's on our website. I want to pull it up now. But we do have amacovotes.com. If you scroll to the middle of that page, for everybody listening, a little red box that says polling location changes. You click it, and this is, so the Church on the Mall, I actually used to vote there too myself. The problem is the location is closing, so we had to move it. Plymouth 3-3, that voted Church on the Mall, is going to Harriet Westfield Park, and Plymouth 4-1 is going to the Plymouth Fire Company Station 1. And that information is on our website. So Plymouth 3-3, moving to Harriet Westfield Park, and Plymouth 4-1, moving to Plymouth Fire Company 1. If you have a question about where you vote, again, please, please call us. Very common question we want to help you with, 610-278-3280, or you can go to vote.pa.com, vote.pa.com, vote.pa.gov, and look up your polling place there. That's also a way to do it.
Thanks, Adam. And the website you were referring to is Montco Votes. Is that right? MontcoVotes.com?
Yeah, MontcoVotes.com will show all the polling changes. If you go on that page, you scroll down, click polling place changes. I know there's a lot of websites. There are.
But anyway, this evening, you can also check at SenatorColette.com, and we'll be uploading all of that information and with the proper links and everything to make sure that you can get to your polling location. But thank you so much, Bonnie, for your question. Nancy, I think we've got Nancy on with a question as well. Nancy, you are live.
Oh, hi.
Nancy, thank you for joining us. Thank you.
A little bit, I'm in the car. Okay, when I finally connected into the call, I thought I heard you saying something about we're switching from our paper ballot, and I just wanted to know what we were using to vote with, equipment-wise.
Nancy, sure, let me just clarify, we are not changing the ballot, we're changing the polling book. But Adam, please, talk to us a little bit about that electronic polling book and the distinction between that and the ballot. Thanks, Adam.
So the ballot, we're actually circling an old one that says a candidate of your choice, is same. That's not changing. What's changing, instead of those thick binders when you walk into the polling place that the inspectors have to look through, we're going to, it's an iPad essentially, specifically designed for this purpose, an iPad that doesn't have Wi-Fi in it. It's preloaded with a USB drive by us before the election. With that data, it will speed things up. You're going to go in there. You will sign the polling pad with your pen or stylus. It will print out a receipt for the poll worker, the inspector, which you've met over the years, and then you will be given a ballot depending on your political party, and you will be able to vote.
Thanks so much, Adam, and thank you, Nancy, for your question. Karen, I think Joanne is on the call with a question.
Yes, Joanne, you are live.
Thank you.
Hi, Joanne. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. I just wanted to find out, I received a ballot in the mail, and it was torn at the top. will my ballot be counted once I fill that out?
If the your ballot's torn, is the ballot or envelope's torn?
The ballot itself came through. It was kind of like folded and torn at the very top. And okay. I wanted to know if it will be counted once I mail it in that way.
So I'm sorry. First of all, I'm sorry that happened. That should obviously never happen. We want these ballots and envelopes to get to you in pristine condition. I would recommend us getting you a new ballot. We have some satellite offices. Our Norristown office is open. I'm not sure where you live or if you want to share on the call. If you don't want to share, that's fine. But the Norristown office is open 8 to 4:30 weekdays. And on the weekend of the 7th and 3rd this weekend and the 9th and 10th, we're open 11 to 4 in Norristown. Otherwise, you have the Willow Grove satellite office, 102 North Brook Road. That's open on May 3rd, 11 to 4. That may be a good office where you can go to. We also have Lansdale Community Connections office at 421 West Main Street on Saturday, May 9th. It's open 11 to 4. And then that's also open May 3rd, Sunday, May 3rd as well this weekend. Those are good places to go to get a replacement ballot.
Thanks, Adam, and thank you, Joanne, for your question. Go ahead, Adam.
I just want to, any of those, I don't know if she's still in the line, if any of those options work for her, but essentially Willow Grove Satellite Office in the district is open May 2nd and May 10th. Lansdale is May 9th and May 3rd. If you want, we have their satellite offices listed online, again, at MarcoVotes.com, but those are two which may be good for many of your constituents.
Thanks so much, Adam. And Joanne, if you're still listening, feel free to touch base with our office, and we'll be sure to get that information to you and figure out the best way to make sure you get that replacement ballot so that your vote will be counted. I understand that Roy is on the call and has some ideas about making things go quicker.
Roy, you are live.
Yep, sorry. So I've been a poll worker for over 10 years. And I'm glad we're streamlining the process with the e-polling, but I was wondering when is electronic numbered list could be next, because the things that, you know, slow us down the most is getting the people in, and, you know, if we had both of those in electronic form, I think we'd move things a lot quicker.
First of all, thank you for being a poll worker. I don't know if you've done poll worker training yet and proposed this question to our poll worker team. I could find out. I didn't quite catch what you were asking. I understand. I think the poll books this year is going to make things, the digital poll books will make things go faster, but I didn't know what you were referring to specifically in the question, but I'd be happy if you give us a call. We're happy to look into it and look at your suggestion.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adam, why don't you go ahead and repeat that number for folks that are on the call and might want to call with questions.
Sure. Yeah, our phone number is 610-278-3280. That's 610-278-3280. And we are open 8 to 4:30 weekdays. On Election Day, we will be open 6 a.m. till polls close. So we will be there serving you and taking your calls.
Wonderful. I want to remind folks that are on the call, if you have a question, you can press *3 to get your question on with Adam, who is from our County Voter Services. He is a voter services specialist. I believe we have Sue on the line. Sue?
Hi. For me?
Hi. Welcome. Thank you.
Yes. Hi. How are you? Great. Thank you for doing this. And I had a couple questions. One was, I always request a mail-in ballot. I haven't received one yet. Are they still being mailed out?
They are in the process of being mailed out. What date did you return your application to us, and was it through the mail or online?
I believe it was online, and it was a couple months ago.
I'd like to give a call tomorrow. Or get your information to Senator Collette and get to me, and I can reach out to you. I can look into it. But you probably need to do what's called a cancel and replace form, which can be done online, which means we cancel the old ballot. So even if it got to you, it would not be the ballot. The ballot would be canceled. And we would send you a new one. And that's something we can do. Again, we have the ballot offices and the Norristown office open. And for everybody listening, I think I should explain that process. When you get that purple and white outer envelope, it has a barcode on it. All the ballots are the same, depending on your precinct, but the envelopes aren't. So we cancel out that barcode, and we send you a new barcode to make sure you can't vote twice.
Thanks. And Sue, you said you had another question?
So I definitely don't need to bring, like, a passport or any new IDs or anything with this preliminary, but is it also going to be for the one in November, too, or no?
The rules on ID, I don't anticipate them changing right now. The rules that we have on ID when you go into vote in person have been the same. They have not been changed for at least since I've worked here for 2 years and longer than that. So if a legislative change or Congress changes something, we would let you know. But I haven't heard any signs of the ID requirement being changed. So right now, if it's your first time at your polling place voting in person, bring ID. Otherwise, you do not need ID.
Great. Thanks, Adam. Sue, is that all of your questions?
Oh, Senator, I believe her call was just cut.
Okay. Sorry, Sue, but I hope you're able to dial back in and listen to us. I understand that we have Maureen with a question. Is that right?
Yes. Maureen, you should be live.
Hi, Maureen. Thanks
Hello.
For joining.
Thank you. Thank you very much for hosting. My question is, if I request a mail-in ballot and decide not to mail in a ballot, can I choose to go the same day of the election to vote instead, in lieu of my mail-in ballot, or do I have to submit that?
Yeah, you can, if you request a mail-in ballot and you get that ballot, you can still vote in person. You need to bring that ballot and the purple and white envelope, you need to sign the date to the polling place. Let the poll workers know, hey, I have my mail-in ballot, I want to vote in person, and you will surrender the ballot, and they will invalidate the ballot and allow you to vote in person. If you lost a ballot or something, if for people who may have not gotten a ballot or lost it, you would have to vote provisionally. You would go into your polling place and say, hi, I've lost and misplaced my ballot, can I vote provisionally? And then on election night, when we discover we haven't gotten your mail-in ballot yet, we would be able to count the provisional ballot in the week or so following.
Great. Thank you so much, Adam, and thank you, Maureen, for your question. Karen, I think we have Bill on the line with a question.
Bill, you're live.
Hi, Bill.
Yes, hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for holding this very informative session. Adam, I wanted to thank you, first of all, for the mobile voter vans. Last Friday, I was able to go to one and apply for my annual mail-in ballot, and they printed it out. It took about 20 minutes, but I got my ballot live. So thank you for that service. You know, my question was, what is the minimum age to vote in Pennsylvania, and does your birth date have to be as of the primary or the day you register? And
go ahead.
A follow on to that just would be, if somebody did register as a brand new voter in Pennsylvania and they got to the poll and for some reason their name wasn't on the book, how would that be handled?
Okay, so you have to be 18 to vote in Pennsylvania. Well, you can register to vote, and soon the next election will happen after you're 18. Let me give you an example. Somebody turns 18 in September of this year, right? They turn 18 in September. It means on May 20th, they could register to vote even though they'd still be 17, because the next election would be in November after their 18th birthday. So when the next election will occur after your 18th birthday, you can register. And then the second question was, what was that second question again? About when you get to the polling place and if you're not on the book, was that it?
Brand new, registered, just this, you know, brand new to the state or because of age, and they get to the poll, but for some reason they're not on the registration book. What, how would that be handled?
So you should give us a call. That is something, it rarely happens. It's not impossible there's a mistake somewhere. These digital poll books, electronic poll books should reduce that. So it's electronic and we don't have to print them. We avoid that artist printing process. Give us a call if that ever happens to you at 610-278-3280. How it actually would process is that you would have to vote provisionally, and when we discover you are registered in that precinct, we then count the provisional ballot. But that is a scenario where it's very rare, but if it did, that is most likely how it would go down in this theoretical scenario.
Thank you so much, Adam. And Bill, I just want to let you know that I have a bill that's proposed in the Senate that would allow for a young voter pre-registration. For a 17-year-old getting their license, they would be able to pre-register to vote. And just as Adam said, on the next election after their 18th birthday, they would be ready to vote and in that poll book. So thank you for asking about young voter registration. Karen, it's my understanding that we've got John with a question.
Yep. All righty, John, you are live.
Yeah. Good evening. Thank you for hosting this. I had a curious question more on like the process, but and this is related to the e-poll books. At our polls now, like the paper books, we've typically got two per precinct, and that kind of sign-in process seems to be the largest bottleneck because people are basically lining up by name. So, like, how many devices will you have at each, you know, precinct? And then, like, is it connected network? Are they, like, preloaded? Does the voter look up their own name, or does one of the poll workers do that? And, like, does the voter sign the device? More just kind of curious on how that process is going to work.
Great questions. So the poll workers have been trained on this, and then they walk everybody through it. But they are preloaded. They don't connect to the Internet. We do that ourselves. We're preloading these before the election. They will load it with everybody's information. The voter would come in, and they'd give the first three letters of their first name and the first three letters of their last name, and the poll worker, the inspector, would pull up the name, turn around the iPad, and then the voter would sign that. And that should speed up the process. As you said absolutely correctly, that was a huge bottleneck. In terms of how many iPads per precinct, I don't know how many each will get. It depends on how many voters are there. There may be more iPads, electronic poll book at one place, at one precinct than another, but we are accounting for that. We are aware there are some precincts that have more voters in person than others, and we want to accommodate that.
Thank you so much, Adam, and I hope that helps with, you know, just getting a little more understanding around the tablet sign-in process. I know those of us that will go to the polls on election day will be curious to see how all of that works. If you're on our call and you have a question for Adam, who is from our County Voter Services Department, please press *3 to make sure that you're able to ask your question. And it's my understanding we've got Gregory with a question on the line. Gregory, you're live. Hi, Gregory.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I got three quick questions. Number one, I did receive my mail-in ballot today. I'm looking at it, and all but one of the races are uncontested. Do you still want people to vote? I mean, what's the sense in it if there's only one person to vote for? Does it still make a difference?
So, to be honest, my ballot was the same way. There wasn't a lot of races or somebody running against them. This is a primary, so in order for people to get on this ballot, they had to go out and collect signatures. Some of the signatures, it could have been 10, 15, or just several hundred signatures they needed, or a little bit more. If people didn't decide to run, if they didn't want to get signatures, then that's why they wanted to be on the ballot. But anybody, there are some qualifications for running for office, but most people, if you're 18 or older, are going to be eligible to run, and if people don't decide to run, the ballot doesn't have as many candidates. So that is the, that's the answer, and it's a common question I get.
Yeah, I'm not sure that answers it. I mean, what if nobody voted? Would the person that, the only person on the ballot would be, get the office, correct?
So if nobody voted, go ahead, Tanya.
Sorry, no, Adam, I think, if Gregory, if I'm understanding your question, you're saying if the uncontested, if the ballot has uncontested offices, like there's only one person running for each office, do you need to vote for that person? I will just stress that write-ins are allowed. It's certainly not our business to tell people how to vote or when to vote or any, or who to vote for, of course. And that decision is completely up to you. But here in Pennsylvania, we do have a primary system in order to make sure that, you know, folks, if there is a contested primary, that we're making a decision for who appears on the general election ballot under that party's candidacy for that office. But the decision to vote or not to vote on a contested candidate is certainly yours to make. And, again, you are able to write in candidates on your ballot as well. So just to clarify, if I'm understanding your question about do we need to vote for uncontested candidates.
Correct. There is one that does have an opponent running, and that's the Congress. I mean progressive. I know that you do, too. Do you have anything that you would recommend for that? Harvey and Simonelli.
Well, I really appreciate the question. This is my capacity as an official state senator and not as a candidate or someone working on the political side, so I will reserve my comments regarding that race. I won't make any advice or any opinions known about where I stand on that race, but I encourage you to look at the League of Women Voters site to get a better feel for a really broad understanding of what each of the candidates stands for. I think that is a pretty well-trusted source of information that isn't partisan or doesn't, you know, kind of make predictions or, kind of push people in one direction or another. So I would just say that they usually have questionnaires that they review, people that participate in that process. And the League of Women Voters really does try to be sort of plain about these are the people that are going to be on your ballot as possible. I did see also that there was something from the Philadelphia Inquirer that came out recently about the ballots as well. I don't know if it has information about who those candidates are or really if it's just this is what your ballot will look like in these races. But I would encourage you to do your research about the candidates that you like, or if you're like, hey, I'm unsure, I don't know who I like yet. Typically, I like to look at the League of Women Voters to get a good sense of what those candidates are standing for and what they're running on. Thanks so much, Gregory. Karen, do we have another caller on the line?
Yes, we're going to go live with Josh. Josh, you're live.
Hi, Josh.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you, and good evening. My question is, and I'll set the scenario here, I arrive at the poll worker. They have this iPad or tablet, and I give them my first name, last name. They look me up. They flip it around. I sign, and my signature doesn't quite match. Or, what happens then, and how will my signature be used from that day on?
So, great question. And the rules on signatures are the same now as they were when we had the paper poll books. That rule's not changing. We know people can change their signature a little bit over time. It may be medical issues. It may be personal taste where they're changing their signature. We don't deny people that their signature doesn't exactly match. So we know with a stylus or using your finger on one of these electronic poll books, it's not going to be as clean as it was using a pen or pencil as people normally sign. So that will not be the reason you would be denied your right to vote based on a signature not perfectly matching.
Great. Thanks so much, Josh. Karen, do we have another caller?
Yes, Senator. We're going to go live with Kelly. Kelly, you are live.
Thank you.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Hi, how are you? All right. I sort of have like a
two-part question. So we all know electronics work great when they work, right? My concern is, what if it malfunctions, right? Or what if it what if I'm one of those voters that stroll in at 7:55 and it malfunctions? How do you ensure that I'm going to be able to vote, or my vote will count?
So we do have multiple polling electronic poll books per precinct. I think it's really, really unlikely both or all three in some places would fail. But if you're in line at 7:55, you're in there, you are entitled to vote. If there's any technical issue, once you're in line, you can stay in line and you can vote. But we are confident in these electronic poll books. They're charged up. They have their charges with them. And there will be multiple electronic poll books in each precinct.
So what if the V-Plan... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I could add, that's one of the great things about the poll workers that we have, that Adam talked a little bit about earlier, and the great training that they get. Remember, we have inspectors of election. We have judges of election. If something malfunctions, those people have a direct line to Montville Voter Services to make sure that that polling location will get back up and running as quickly as possible, no matter what the problem may be. So I really do appreciate your concern, and I think this is just my opportunity to give another plug for our really wonderful poll workers who show up and do this job for us.
Thank you. I appreciate it, but how does that ensure my vote?
Kelly, I'm sorry. You got cut off a little bit there. So if the tablet malfunctions, like Adam said, we don't anticipate that that would occur, but I want to, also assure folks on the call that, again, if the tablets malfunction, we have a direct line to Montco Voter Services from our poll workers at the polling locations, and they would make sure that a system was put in place, whether that means bringing a new tablet that is working properly to that site, whether that means printing up the poll books for that location. We had a circumstance, where one of the polling locations in a part of Pennsylvania, they hadn't printed ballots on long enough paper, and so they had to reprint ballots the day of the election. That's the reason that voter services, I think Adam said they start, really early in the morning that day to make sure that they're ready to handle any problems that could come up on the day of. So, for example, you gave us the scenario, if I show up at 7:55 and the tablet malfunctions, Adam said, if you're in line before the polls close at 8 p.m., we will do everything that's necessary to make sure your vote counts. So if the tablet malfunctions at 7:55, you can rest assured that Voter Services is going to put in place whatever is necessary to ensure that they get your vote counted for this election. So if you're a registered voter and you're eligible to vote and you show up at the poll and you're there before 8 p.m., Voter Services is going to make sure they've got your back to make sure that they're not missing anything. Thanks so much for your question, Kelly. Karen, do you have another caller on?
Yes, our next caller is Dan. Dan, you are live.
Hi, Dan.
Hello, thank you. I've been a poll worker for a number of years, and our location is very small, and we get these cardboard booths that offer almost zero privacy. We've been putting in suggestions for years to bring back something with a curtain. We have people that are talking to each other. We have to constantly tell people to vote privately, vote alone. Anytime we put in these suggestions for something that will actually separate people and give them that privacy they deserve, it's just met with silence. And I'm just wondering if there's anything that we are doing or could do around that.
So I'm not sure last time you contacted us. I'd love to get your info so I could reach out directly to my colleagues on the poll worker team and see what could be done. We definitely want voters to have privacy and not feel like your vote's confidential to you. And if a person only wants themselves to know how they voted, that's their right, and we want to support that. So if there's not enough privacy, it's definitely a concern. I'd love to get in touch with you and get your information to the poll worker team again. I'm sure you're a current poll worker. Thank you for doing that. But let's see if we can get your information. If I can get your information in the Senator Collette's office, I can then talk to my poll worker team, have them reach out to you, or I can reach out to you.
Wonderful. And I think we do have details that we can share with Adam after the call so that he can circle back to you, Dan, and get more information about that. And we'll be happy to do that. You know, Adam, I think this has been a really wonderful conversation. It brings us to the end of our town hall. I want to thank everyone who tuned in. Your questions were incredibly thoughtful and helpful for us to make sure that we have the information we need so that every one of us feels like our vote is counted. Adam, thank you for sharing your expertise and your time with us. We are so appreciative of your ability to answer these questions thoughtfully and with all of the precise detail that you have. It really makes us feel a lot more secure in our voting coming up in just a few weeks for this primary and then again in November. I want to thank everybody for taking their time to be with us. Don't hesitate to contact my office if you have any concerns. Any help with state services, reach out to us at 215-368-1429 or at senatorcollette.com. Good night, everyone. Take care, and thank you so much for joining us.